You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift, learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk about how to help young men mature in their faith. And today, I want us to examine something I read about Gen Z this week. And unfortunately, what I read this week is that Gen Z is considered to be the least confident generation. All right, I don't know what you think about this young man, but this is what the news is saying. Here's some reasons why. Mental health. Gen Z reports lower self-esteem and personal confidence than any other generation. And more than 40% have been diagnosed with mental health conditions like anxiety and depression. Not only that, but Gen Z also has trouble with financial confidence. One survey found that Gen Z is the least financially confident generation, with over 25% expressing a lack of confidence in their financial knowledge and skills. Gen Z also faces social pressures from society, including expectations around body image and professional success. There's also struggles with coming-of-age milestones. Gen Z's coming-of-age milestones have been disrupted by a global pandemic a couple of years back. And then, believe it or not, there's some in Gen Z that are overwhelmingly concerned about environmental issues like climate change, which can lead to a sense of feeling overwhelmed and echo anxiety. Do you have a confidence problem? And the best that the world has to offer is they provide promoting different resources for mental health support. They help promote and provide healthy social connections and opportunities to build relationships with others, and a working systematic change, whatever that means. Let me ask again, is your confidence struggling this morning? Does Gen Z really have a confidence problem? And if so, how do we fix it? And what I want to talk to you about on this show today is the way to fix your confidence problem, if you are struggling with some of those things, is to simply be in the presence of God. I want to talk to you about being in God's presence, and I want to do that from Psalm 84. And Psalm 84 was popularized by that well-known worship song that's probably been out now for 20 or even 30 years called Better Is One Day. Maybe you've heard that song, Better Is One Day in Your Courts Than a Thousand Elsewhere. That's the psalm that we're talking about. We're talking about Psalm 84. We're talking about if you're having trouble finding your confidence, that I'm encouraging you today to find your confidence in God, to find your confidence by being in the presence of the Lord. And so we get that from Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is a companion to Psalm 42 and 43 because it expresses that same yearning or the intimate desire to be in the place of worship. Technically, Psalm 84 is a pilgrimage song. It's a song, a psalm, a song, same thing, where faithful saints would meditate and even sing on their way to Jerusalem for one of the feasts of the Old Testament. Psalm 84, it's an incredible psalm. In fact, Spurgeon called this psalm the pearl of the Psalms. He writes this about Psalm 84. He writes, quote, "If the 23rd be the most popular, and the 103rd be the most joyful, and the 119th be the most deeply experimental, and the 51st be the most plaintive, then this is one of the most sweet of the Psalms of Peace." That's how Spurgeon talks about it. One of the very most sweetest of the Psalms of Peace. This is a psalm, Psalm 84. It's written by the sons of Korah. There are 11 total psalms attributed to the sons of Korah as they express a longing for God and a desire to be in deep devotion with God by being in His presence. So listen up, Gen Z. The best way, again, for you to boost your confidence is to know who you are in Christ. And the only way that you can know who you are in Christ is to be in the presence of God. So I'm going to share with you four truths about the presence of the Lord, all taken from Psalm 84. Let's jump right in. The first truth I want to share with you today about Psalm 84 is here we read about a passion for God's presence, a passion for God's presence. And in the first couple of verses, he starts to talk about the beauties of the temple. I mean, look, listen to Psalm 84, verses 1 through 2, where it says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." And so the first thing he's talking about here is just the beauties of the temple. I mean, the word lovely, when he says, "How lovely is your dwelling place," that word lovely could be translated as beloved or even dearly beloved. And so he's just talking about how the temple is the place where God is dearly beloved. It's the place where the psalmist is speaking about it as if he might find his joy by being in the presence of the Lord because it's such a lovely place. I mean, I think about this sometimes as the way we describe things that are lovely. Like if I were to talk about my wife, I would talk about how lovely she is. When I first met her, I thought she was the most beautiful woman that I had ever seen. And so I couldn't stop talking about her beauty. That's what young men do when they find somebody that they love. And so this is what the psalmist is doing in even a more eternal way. He's talking about the presence of the Lord being in the temple. So therefore, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. It's like if you were to stay at the hotel at the beach and you were going to walk into the hotel once you finally get to your room and you check out the view. And you check out the room and you say, "Man, if this is a beautiful hotel, it doesn't disappoint." And so you respond with glee, "Wow, how beautiful is this room? And how beautiful, how lovely is the view from my beachfront hotel?" It's just kind of like you can't stop talking about what you're excited about. And that's what's going on here in Psalm 84. There's no apathy in this psalm. There's no boredom in this psalm. There's no, "I think I'll just kind of check it out later," when he's talking about being in the presence of the Lord. And so the psalmist here in these first couple of verses, he's appreciating the dwelling place of God. I mean, in the beginning, God dwelt in the garden of Eden there with Adam and Eve. And then we see the presence of God after the fall in Genesis 3. We see the presence of God showing up as a smoking fire pot as God made a special covenant with Abraham and he passed through the two halves of the cow, the animal that was slaughtered. And then later we see the presence of God in the burning bush there as God is representing himself in a fire in the burning bush there to Moses. And then we read about the Israelites as they now have left Egypt and they're heading to the promised land. The presence of the Lord is then in a pillar of fire. And it's a pillar of fire that guides the Israelites by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And we know that the presence of God is even represented in the Ark of the Covenant. You know, we talk about the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was manifested and revealed as far as being right there in that special box, really, just in the sense of that Ark of the Covenant contained the Ten Commandments, according to Hebrews 9. It contained Aaron's staff, and it contained some manna. And so again, the Ark of the Covenant was housed in the temple, which was a temporary structure where the temple would be, it's a tabernacle that would eventually be built into the temple. And this whole setting is again talking about the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle of God. And so this is what we're reading about. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts? And so God is mighty. And he is beautiful. In fact, he's the Lord of hosts. This literally means that he's the Lord of the armies of heaven. He is the beautiful and the mighty God. He's the Lord over all. No army can stop him. No weapon can form against him while prosper, and no human counsel can ever divert his divine decree. You know, sometimes we just need to think about being in the presence of God. How beautiful it is to be in his presence. And then verse 2 says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And so what we're reading about here is how this psalmist, the sons of Korah here, they long, they desire, they are desperate to be in the presence of God. No one's forcing them to be there. This psalmist, he wants to be in the presence of the Lord. He's hungry to meet with God. You know, there's something to say about desiring to be in the presence of God. I think about that desire, something that we long for. You could even equate that with hunger. You know, that you're hungry to be with the Lord. When I think about hunger, I think about, you know, when my kids were younger, they would say they're hungry, but they could only consume a small amount of food. And now that my kids are getting older, they're eating me out of house and home. And so they eat more, they ingest more. And that's kind of how it is in our growth to be in the presence of God. As a younger Christian, you might have wanted to be in the presence of the Lord, but as you grow, you begin to really long for and yearned for to be in the presence of the Lord. You know, this idea of fainting to be in the presence of the Lord or yearning to be in the presence of the Lord comes from the word that means to be completed or to be satisfied. It's like the psalmist is saying, I'm not satisfied until I have you, Lord. I won't be satisfied with anything else until I press into your presence. So don't go away. I want you to come back as we're going to continue to talk about the presence of the Lord.
Back with more from Dr. Adam Tyson in just a moment. You know what kind of blows me away as he's talking about the sparrow finding its home in God's presence? It's that it shows us something that's really crucial about real biblical manhood. You know, our strength doesn't come from trying to prove ourselves, but from finding our place in the presence of God. And that reminds me of The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges. Look, if you want to grow into the kind of man who leads with genuine spiritual confidence, this book is golden. Dr. Bridges shows you how godly character is what makes a man truly strong, not the cheap substitutes that culture tries to throw onto masculinity. If you're serious about developing into a godly leader, The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges is available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And also, if you're serious about developing into a godly leader, clear your calendars for February 14th and 15th. The Masters University is going to be hosting their Think Biblically conference in Southern California, 2 days that's going to equip you to lead with biblical conviction in this crazy upside down culture that has lost its way on what manhood actually means and what it looks like. You can find out more about everyone who is going to be there and also pick up discounted tickets right now at masters.edu/manhood. And as we live in this time where biblical manhood is under attack, that's why we've transformed into Fortis Institute. Fortis means strong, it means resolute, it means steadfast, exactly what Christian men need to be right now. And that's why we've brought together 8 of the most trusted and theological voices in the country. These voices help men stand firm when the culture is trying to redefine everything about masculinity, just like Way of Manhood here with Dr. Adam Tyson. Let me be honest with you a second. Just like he talked about the sparrow finding its confidence in God's presence, we want to help men find their strength in God's truth. Here's the thing though, bringing all of this solid biblical teaching to men requires resources. And so would you partner with us? Would you help us create content that shows men what real God-honoring masculinity looks like? When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're helping us raise men who find their identity and their confidence where the sparrow did, in God's presence. Think about how many young men are struggling because they're looking for confidence in all the wrong places. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now and get any answers to any questions you could possibly have about what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner. And now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right, well, welcome back. We're talking today about Psalm 84, being in the presence of the Lord. And the reason we're talking about this is one of the biggest problems with Gen Z today is that there is a lack of confidence. And I'm saying that a lack of confidence comes from a lack of being in God's presence. And so in Psalm 84, we're talking about the psalmist who wants to be in the presence of God. In fact, I can't help but think about some of that footage that I've seen about those young girls who fawned all over the Beatles, you know, the Beatles, that popular rock group back in the 1960s. And they were so popular that people were crowding them out at their concerts. And you think about these young groupies, these young girls, you know, they wanted to run up to the front of the stage. And when they saw the Beatles, they just tried to reach out their arms and their hands to touch them. And some of them fainted, you know, and that's what we're talking about. Is that you just long to be in the presence of God. This is what God calls us to. This is what every mature young man ought to want to be. If you're struggling with confidence, you need to get into the presence of God. This is Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. And I just want to know, young man, are you panting for God? Does your soul thirst for the living God like this? Are you beholding his power and his glory? And notice how the psalmist's heart, again, sings for joy. This is a great reminder of how the flesh can be brought under subjection to the spirit of a mighty God when we cry out to him. That's what the psalmist is doing as he sees the lovely place of God's presence in the temple. But that's not all. The psalmist goes on, and in verse 3, we read about how he says, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. I love this because we're talking about the birds of the temple. I mean, listen to this. Here are two birds that the psalmist is talking about who both find their rest at the altar of the Lord. That's right. We're talking about birds making a nest there at the temple. And so the psalmist is actually talking about how he's even jealous of these birds who are so close to God in proximity because they're raising their young right there in the temple. I mean, they literally live there. I mean, the psalmist may come on occasion or a few times throughout the week, but these two birds make their home in the temple of the living God. And think about these two birds with me, if you will, for just a moment. There's two of them. The first one is the sparrow, and the sparrow is known as the most worthless of birds in all of the Jewish culture. And they were thought of as being insignificant and non-important. I mean, listen to how Jesus talks about this when he talks about the sparrow in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Are you hearing what Jesus is saying? He's saying there in their culture, you could buy two sparrows for a single penny. That means they're relatively inexpensive. Or you could say they're somewhat worthless. There's not a lot of value placed on these sparrows. And even though that may be true, Jesus says not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. In other words, God knows about the sparrow. And he knows also, as Jesus says, about the hairs of your head. They're all numbered. A hair on your head may seem insignificant to you, but God says they're all numbered. And that's why Jesus ends in Matthew 10:31 saying, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So he's saying, hey, you're more important than the birds. You're more important than all of creation. Now, this obviously leads to one of the greatest hymns ever written. Maybe you're familiar with it. Here's how the hymn goes. It says, why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. Young man, are you familiar with the fact that God is omnipresent, that he watches you, that he knows every hurt, every pain, everything that you're facing in life? And if the sparrow is thought of as the most worthless bird, and yet God knows about every sparrow that falls to the ground, then the sparrow is not as insignificant as you think. And so while the sparrow was thought of as one of the most worthless birds, there's another bird here in Psalm 84, and that would be the swallow. The swallow, it's another bird. And if the sparrow is one of the most worthless of birds, the swallow was known as one of the most restless of birds. I'm talking about ADHD. I mean, my goodness, if you were to go on YouTube videos and start to look at the swallow, you would find it with its beady little eyes darting around here and there, constantly looking and searching for trouble, and seems to be very uncomfortable, very anxious, very nervous. This weak bird seems to be out of control. It's jittery. It's nervous. It's always darting about, never resting. And yet the swallow finds its home in the presence of God. So here's what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 84, verse 3. If the sparrow, who is the most worthless of birds, finds its home at the temple, and the swallow, which is the most restless of birds, makes its nest and raises its young there at the temple near the altar of God, then where do you think you should be? I mean, you may be listening today and you feel like the sparrow. You are feeling completely worthless, no self-esteem, anxious, not sure of yourself, not knowing what's going to happen in your life, and you feel like your life doesn't really matter. And that's why you lack confidence, young man, is that you're forgetting that you need to be in the presence of God. And it's only when you're in His presence and you see His worth and His value that you can then take a look at your own. And if that's what's going on with the sparrow, then the swallow is something similar. You may feel like the swallow this morning. In other words, one of the most restless of people. You don't know what's going on in your life. You don't know what you're going to major in. You don't know what job you're going to get. You don't know who you're going to marry. But I'm asking you this morning, can you just cry out to God? Can you this morning end where the psalmist ends in verse 4 when he just says, blessed are those who dwell in your house and who ever sing your praise. In other words, can you find your blessing in the presence of God this morning as the psalmist cries out, my King and my God? He doesn't say the King and the God. He personalizes his relationship with God in this psalm, my King and my God. So again, we're talking about Psalm 84. We're talking about the psalmist as a passion to be in the presence of God. We're looking at the beauties of the temple in verses 1 and 2. We're looking at the birds of the temple in verse 3. And then in verse 4, again, he's summarizing all of this as the blessing of the temple. In other words, it's a blessing for me to be in your house, ever singing your praise. This is, blessed are those whose strength is in you, Psalm 84, verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 12, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And so verse 4 is just telling us, blessed are those who serve at the temple. They're blessed. It's a blessing to be in the presence of God. And so this is the only psalm that has three of the Beatitudes that the believers ought to be thinking about, where we are blessed to be in the presence of God. This is what the psalmist is talking about. Let me just remind you that if you want to find your blessing, you've got to find it by being in the presence of God. You know, the Bible says that in the presence of God, you are blessed. And so you may not feel like being in the presence of God right now. You may feel a little bit distant from God right now. Maybe you're struggling with sin. Maybe you're struggling with some depression. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety. And all of this is leading to a lack of confidence in your life. And what I want to do with this day is I want to encourage you to realize that the presence of God isn't found necessarily in the bricks and mortar of the church building. The presence of God is found when you are meditating on Him and when you're thinking about the fact that His presence now, if you're in Christ, dwells in you. This is how you fight against the lack of confidence as you find yourself longing to be in the presence of God. Let me pray for you that that would be your aim even on this day. God, thank you for the opportunity to read the first part of Psalm 84. And I pray that you would just remind us today as young men that we want to long to be in your presence. And we want to long to be in your presence where your presence is found in your word. And your presence is found through prayer. And your presence is found as we meditate on the truths of the character of God. And so I pray for that young man today that we would be blessed as we seek to find ourselves in the presence of the Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.